Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Casual KO after a week off. Getting back into it. We should have done a follow-up on the UFC 300. We just didn't really think about it. Would have been fun to kind of just talk about that. Get our reaction, as all the influencers like to say. I hate that. It's like I'm reacting an hour and a half later. But
some of us are upset and some of us are happy.
Yeah, man. I thought it was a really good card, obviously. I think it's the best ever. I came out pretty good on the night as well. And this past weekend with, no UFC going on, I was happy with how I did then too. But, we're going to try and continue this momentum into a nice, I'm not going to lie, it's a bad card. It's not a good card at all. It's probably got some of the lowest level talent as far as the UFC goes. Something that I think is going to make more headlines this weekend, honestly, I'm biased a little bit, but I think the BKFC's Knucklemania 4 is going to probably be more talked about than this UFC card. It's a massive, BKFC event. So
I agree with that. I'd be willing to watch anything besides this card, to be honest. There's only like a couple fights that I'm interested in on this card.
Is that the Mike Perry versus Thiago Alves?
Yeah, Mike Perry, Thiago Alves, Mick Terrell versus Lorenzo Hunt, Ben Rothwell, Todd Duffy. I mean, there's some great fights on the card. A few bantamweights, too. For you, Jared.
Nice.
Animal fights. But yeah, man, I don't know if you guys had like a pick that you were real happy about in your last fight. I always like to kind of recap a little bit. I called Tenneto Moicano. I was real proud of that one, more so even than the round five Max Holloway knockout. I think that could have gone so many different ways. But yeah, that Tenneto Moicano, man, I feel like I was like on an island picking Tenneto, just because I don't believe in Jalen Turner. I think that he's draining himself being 6'3", which I don't really think he's 6'3". I think he's like 6'1". I think he's one of these like Israel Adesanya types. He's very insecure. He thinks he's got to be taller than he is. He's weird, man. He's cutting himself. He's draining his body. He's going to have a very short career in the UFC if he continues doing that. I think he should move up to 170. He'll have some better cardio. And he also needs to be taught how to, get tough. You know, he's so physically gifted being tall like that. I kind of think he's kind of a princess. He's a little bit of a bitch, in my opinion. So I'm glad that Tenneto came out and came out on top there. Dude, I don't know how you can't like Tenneto Moicano. The speeches that he gives afterwards, he's like so pro-America. And
he
just
loses
like
you money, you don't like him.
Yeah, well, I mean, bet on him. He says himself, man, he can't afford to lose, and I believe him. You know what I mean? So
fuck Herb Dean, I'm not stopping that fight.
Hey, Uncle Herb, that's my uncle, dude. But what's interesting about that too is he's got a fight coming up here. Who's Tenneto fighting on 303? Slipping my mind.
Oh, I saw that. They just scheduled it. Can't think of who it was.
We'll come across it.
Yeah, I remember looking at it, and it's like another spot I'm going to bet against Moicano and probably lose.
Yeah, I wouldn't, man. He's very underrated. So anyway, we'll talk about 303 when 303 comes. I don't know, anything that you guys wanted to highlight about 300?
Bobby Green, baby. That Jim Miller 300 didn't happen. They baited all y'all. That should have been my biggest bet of the night, but instead I did Jalen Turner.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, Bobby Green did get rocked by the 55-year-old old man. He did get rocked in round one.
I wasn't sweating at all.
Yeah, he got rocked, though.
He didn't get rocked. He was there. He was just – he was possuming.
Sure. He absolutely beat the fuck out of Jim Miller, though. And it is kind of annoying after you see that and how cocky Jim Miller is, just because he's been around for a long time. He's never been ranked, I don't think, in the UFC. You know, so it's kind of lame to be like, call me Jim fucking Miller at the UFC 300, and then you go out there and get fucked up. But, good on him. Good on him for going out there and doing that. Jared, anything you wanted to highlight before we talk about this phenomenal Dana's Garage card?
Well, my best bet of the night was definitely Figueiredo by sub. You know, first fight of the night, I hit a fucking plus 400. And then I was like, yo, tonight's about to be the night. And then I immediately lose three fights in a row. Fucking Kayla Harrison, she proved she belongs. Sure. And then, yeah, I don't know. It was looking real shitty up until the main card for me. But I don't know. Fuck, great card. I wish I just watched as a fan and didn't bet because I barely got out the mush, and it was just such a good card to watch.
Yeah, that is kind of one of those things too, where like if you bet a lot on a good card, a fun card like that, and everything would go perfect for you, right? Like you got like food or whatever, you got a nice night going on, you got some entertaining fights, and then you lose money. It does suck. Like it takes a little bit away from it. So,
and it's hard to appreciate someone's great performance when you lose money because you're sitting there mush, but you can't even appreciate how good this person just did.
Yeah. Well, and then another thing too that's kind of going under the radar, man, is that Wang Zhe-Li and fucking Yan Jianan, or Zhang Weili, I should say, and Yan Jianan, dude, Yan got fucking choked out in the first round. She passed out. Like she went out. And then she goes back to the corner.
Bad. I never seen anything like that before.
Well, dude,
I
told she went Jared back
right
to the
now.
Corner.
This is some low league stuff where they allow someone to get knocked out, put him in the second round, give him like some time to recover.
Well, and the cornerman was like, I can wake her up. And they thought they gave her smelling salts, but what they did was he pushed on her nostril hard, and that hurts. So that's going to wake you up. It's kind of like if you've ever hunted, they tell you always like poke the deer or whatever you shot in the eye with a stick, because no matter what, whether it's like shocked dead or whatever, it's going to jump up if it's got any life left in it if you poke it in the eye. So it was like a painful thing to do to Yan. And she, dude, I had Yan, and I had her, I think, by either knockout or decision. I forget what it was. And I felt good about it in round two and three. Like, I felt really good. And then, you know, Zhang kind of got her second win and pretty much dominated that fight. I picked Charles Oliveira. I was shocked that was a split decision. When I heard it was a split, I was feeling real fucking good about that. What else? Cody Brundage. I did have the fight starts round two. I felt really good about that. But yeah,
that
man.
No first minute finish was golden too.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, Diego Lopes too, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna ride this dude all the way to his title shot. I think that he gets there in his next few fights. Aljamain Sterling. I might have picked Cater on the card, but I ended up going pretty heavy on Sterling, and he made it look easy, boring but easy. Yeah, man, interesting card, dude. It was a really, really good time. But we're moving into a very low level card from that incredible night. Who wants to start? Who wants the honors?
I want the honors. I started it off on 300 with a winner. I'm gonna start it off now with a winner. I'm going with Mahi Shate.
Well, let me say the fucking names first. Jesus, are you new? What's going on? We got Mahi Shate versus Gabriel Benitez, Mowgli versus the Machete. So obviously, you're going with the Chinese fighter.
Going with Machete. You have to here. He's younger. You're getting the right odds on the younger fighter, and I think he wins by finish. If you want to get greedy.
Okay. Yeah, my computer is running a little slow here, so some images might not pull up. I was having that problem on my other computer.
Am I worried if the fight goes later? Yes. But I just think you're getting a good price on Machete here as a parlay piece.
Yeah, I tend to agree, man. I think Mowgli's getting a little old. They really like to talk about his hard leg kicks, and I really don't give a shit because he doesn't use them. So I don't care how hard you kick out of the American Kickboxing Academy there. Doesn't matter. I think Mahi Shate, this is a buy low spot on him because of the two back to back. Well, I thought he was finished back to back, but yeah, losing to Rafa Garcia by decision is not a great look. Gabriel Benitez just not looking good, man. Losing to Jim Miller after we saw how much he got punished by Bobby Green, who's not in his prime either. Yeah, I'm right there with you, and I think a finish is coming, possibly round one, man. So I'll go Mahi Shate knockout round one. What's your official play on this, Alex?
I'm gonna go with knockout round two. He shows a little bit different style of himself. He starts a little bit slow and plays with his food a little bit, I'm gonna say, and then gets it late round two.
Okay, Jared,
I am on the other side on this one. I'm taking Benitez, even though this dude's definitely on the tail end of his career. 14 UFC fights. He's been very hit or miss throughout that, but you know, he's not bad. You know, he's got a good clinch game. He definitely has the better grappling in this fight. Machete, he wants to keep this on the feet. He wants to keep it a kickboxing match. And he likes to kind of try to draw guys in and counter. But he's not very accurate. When he does land hard. But I mean, he's low output, low accuracy, gets hit a lot. His ground game's bad. The only two things I think he has going for him in this fight is he's 4 inches taller and 11 years younger. Despite that, I don't think there's a too big of a gap on the feet. I think Benitez can hang, and I think there's a way bigger gap on the ground. It's really clear for Benitez. He got a very clear path to victory here. Take this dude down, ground and pound, maybe get him comfortable on the feet in the first round. But I'm going to say Benitez gets him out of there round two. I'm going to call it knockout. I'd lean a ground and pound.
Okay. I respect it. I mean, yeah, it's not crazy to think that at all. He's not been looking too great here, Machete, that is. But
I think that wrestling is his only path to victory, in my opinion.
100%. I think we all agree there. It's
Coming
just
out of that camp, you would think he would wrestle more, but he's more of a, like, he has a striker style.
well, he's high output on the feet. He's more high output than Machete. He's more accurate. I mean, I think he has enough power to even get him out of there on the feet. That's just me, but I just don't think this guy's. I think he's the definition of an entry-level UFC fighter.
Sure. Yeah, I could agree with that too. Yeah, low level card, man. Low level card. Not many fighters are even coming off of wins in this entire card. There's only a couple. Second fight of the night, moving right along here. Ivana Petrovic versus Liang Na, the Dragon Girl. Right? I mean, rough thing here. My thing with Liang Na, I don't think that she should be a minus a plus 380, whatever the fuck it is. It's probably much higher than that now. Plus 380 against Ivana
I'm with
Petrovic.
you too. I'm with you.
The
It's a
odds
big
here are
spread.
off. The odds are off. Petrovic has not won in the UFC. I think she's only had one fight in the UFC, coming over from Aries. But Petrovic made a really bad showing of herself last time. Liang Na's great at, getting takedowns, but once she gets takedowns, she doesn't do anything with them. And she gasses quick. That's what's kind of worrisome about Liang Na if you're trying to throw a little action on her. This is probably like the definition of a stay away spot, but if you wanted to bet it, I think what you do is you take the under. They might even line this at a 1.5 if they're smart. If it's a 2.5 round line, you hammer that under, I think, because it's either Liang Na in round one.
They're on to us.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it's either Liang Na in round one or Ivana Petrovic possibly in round two or early round three because Na just gasses so hard. For the sake of just having some fun, I'll take Liang Na to get a knockout in round one, a ground and pound type thing. I don't see it. I'm not confident. I wouldn't recommend anyone tail that, but these odds are off. And I'm not going to be one of these guys that says the odds are off and then bet the fucking minus 500 favorite. So give me Liang Na. Ground and pound TKO, round one. Jared?
Yeah, dude, I mean, you nailed it. These odds are way too far apart. I mean, you got a girl coming into her second UFC fight who lost her first one. I mean, granted, Luana Carolina is definitely a step up from Liang, but I mean, I don't know what to think of this girl, dude. She's got a kickboxing base, but she always seems to push the wrestling. Watching her fights and watching the level of competition, I really don't see anything that warrants her being minus 500 against anybody. Granted, Liang has fucking zero head movement. She gets hit a lot. She's had three UFC fights. She's gotten knocked out in all three. All around, not a good fighter. I know Liang sucks, but this girl at minus 500 is fuck kind of laughable. I mean, yeah, this isn't. If you're betting this fight, I mean, how do you not take Liang? Or yeah, take no distance or the under or something. But yeah, whatever. I'll take Liang. I don't care. I'll take a shot on it. We'll go Liang KO round one. It's probably your best bet, but I'm going into that knowing this girl is not good.
Fuck, are we all on Nah here? Because that means she's definitely gonna
Yeah,
get knocked
dude.
out in round one.
It's like kind of sucks. I was thinking you guys are going to be all on the other side.
Alex, are you on our side here?
I've been thinking about it because they just got it lined where it's like, how do you not? But I think we
Women's
all know
MMA,
the right bet
dude.
here. The right bet here is to bet a finish, which is minus 350. When do you see that in a female MMA fight? Not often in the UFC that you see a no distance line at this, unless Chris Cyborg's fighting a can. But now Liang is could easily get finished anyway, and so can this fight's unpredictable. We could even see it go to a decision, as if Na Liang's never went to a decision.
This fight can end in a draw, right?
It really could. This is one of the more unpredictable fights. I guess the no distance is worth parlaying just based on stats and probability. But if you want to take a pun, I would do it by Liang by sub. Like, that's where I think she's going to get it. Like, I think she's going to be not as strong to get in a position to get a TKO, but I think she could, you know, flop on her back, throw up an arm bar, throw up a little weird triangle. And I think that's the way I would hit it. It's plus 800. If I were to bet Liang and I were to throw a pun on this fight, I guess that would be the way I would do it. But, you know, why get greedy? You could just take her by finish, which is the smart thing to do. Plus 650, you know, why get greedy? But Liang by TKO is plus 1,200. So you guys should already know which prop right there is more likely. But I'm going to go with Liang round one sub for the fluke. I'll go with you guys.
Yeah, you mentioned sub and you mentioned Na, and I already threw down the one for you earlier because, if you're taking Na, it seems like you got to take a round one. And seriously consider, like, throwing a little bit on the draw on this one because, like I said, Na could get a 10-8 in the first round, and then this chick, Petrova, can come back and,
Damn, why don't you just call the draw? You could be the first on the channel to pick the draw.
Because I try to make it to where it's like realistic. I mean, draws are so rare. It's
always the fight you least expect, and that's a fight that people will least expect.
To end in a draw?
Oh, absolutely. Me and Jared picked a couple draws. We always say, which one do you least expect? You know what I mean?
Well, I'm saying I expect it.
Dustin Jacoby, Ion Kuntalaba will always be my claim to fame for calling a draw.
I hit a couple draws. I hit Ricky Glenn and what's his name? Ricky Glenn's fight versus
versus somebody. Right. So
Dawson.
Next fight of the night here, we've got James Yontov, and he has had three. He's on his third opponent right now. He was initially meant to fight Lando Venata, I believe was his initial opponent. Then they switched him over to Gabe Green, and now he is fighting someone named Chris Padilla. I am not going to lie, I've never heard of Chris Padilla. Have you guys heard of this gentleman?
Nope.
Okay, so he's a UFC debutant. Alex, you heard of this dude?
No.
Okay, so we'll pull up some shit. We'll see. This is yours to lead, Jared. Did you know that this fight was put together? Because I think it was done pretty, like, recently.
Yeah, they just put this together, like, what, yesterday or the day before? I was going to start looking. How do you say this dude's last name? Because you said it a way different way that I was going to pronounce it.
Who, Chris? Padilla.
No. The other one.
Oh, James Yontop.
Yeah, see, I was going lawn top all day.
Yeah, well, it's just because the two L's. Anytime it's two L's, it's always a Y.
Yeah, I did. Right when I was going to look into this dude, his fight got canceled. So I kept, doing tape. And then he got another fight. So I was about to look into him again. And then that got canceled. So third time a fight got scheduled in the past, like, week or two, I didn't get a chance to look into this. So I'm going to go with old lawn top over here by first round KO, despite knowing nothing about his opponent.
We could just call him Goku and Taco, right? I mean, these are their nicknames. Some great
wow
nicknames.
Those are fucking quite the nicknames.
It sounds like a weird, like, anime porn. Goku Taco, right? It's like a weird
it's not where I was going with that.
It's strange. Well, it looks like everyone thinks that Yontop's gonna win, so how often is Tapology that wrong?
Oh, hold I've up, never no, seen. Look, it only says one pick, though.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
All right, that's at least comforting.
Someone should go in there. One of us should go in there and pick Taco to win, and then...
Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
50-50.
Is there a boycott on Tapology?
I'm going to do that right now.
Alex, do you have an opinion on this, man?
You know, this is definitely a fight just to watch. I do like the fight to end by finish just based on stats, but I think we, you got to think after the, I see a lot of finishes on this card because you got to think after that amazing UFC 300 card and you're get put on a card like this, don't you want to go out there and lay it out on the line because you know, you got some big shoes to fill after coming in after an event like that. You know what I mean? So I think people are going to come in riled up, and I think they're going to try to pull eyes on this, you know, or make you wish that you watched it. Like, oh my God, did you miss that card that we thought was going to be horrible and ended up being great to watch? You know, so I think this is one of those fights. I like a finish. I'm going to go with James to get the finish, but I wouldn't sleep on Chris. You know, this is just a, I think this is a barn burner, and Chris can hit too hard, but I'm going to go with James. I'll go late knockout, round three knockout.
Okay. And Jared, you see it.
I just took Padilla round one KO on Tapology.
Hell yeah.
So now we got a 50-50 split.
A 50-50 matchup. Did what method and round did you say, Jaren?
KO round one for Mr. Lawn Top, despite knowing nothing.
Okay.
I like that taco nickname.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to, admittedly, I'll have to do some work on this. He is 5'9 versus 6 feet. That's a significant height disadvantage, I would say, right? I mean, 3 inches, that's fairly substantial. Somehow he has the longer reach by 1.5 inches, which doesn't really count for much. But yeah, I'll have to do some tape on the kid. California dude versus a Peruvian. I don't know. It seems like they're trying to build more into that Latin American base. I'll go Yon Top here. I don't think that that's a shock. And I'll go knockout round one. I'm not putting much thought into it, man. But yeah, it should be a mediocre fight, I think. Now we'll move into the fourth fight of the night. Jared, you can take this one again because no one knew what the fuck was going on with that. But we've got this isn't a great fight to give you either, but Ketlin Souza versus Marnik Mann. I might have a hot take on this fight. I'm excited to see what you guys think.
No, it's not going to be so hot after I'm done because Ketlin Souza looked like, you know, her first fight in the UFC was against Karini Silva, which that's a tough night out for anybody, but she looked like she's never been in a fight in her life. I mean, she looked like just a fish out of water. Marnik Mann, she's a borderline midget, low output, sloppy striking, sloppy takedown attempts, bad takedown defense, bad cardio, all around bad everything. In my opinion, this is a 50-50 fight that we're looking at. And if you got a 50-50 fight, one of the girls is nearly plus 300, you got to be on that side of it. So I'm going to, in a 50-50 fight, I'm going to take Marnik Mann to win a sweaty decision.
Yeah.
What do you got, Tarzan? You on the same side?
Yeah, took my hot take and threw it right in the trash. yeah, that's exactly what I think, man. Sousa's not great. Marnik Mann, she's at least mean. Like, she tries. She tries hard, you know? She got head kicked by Bruna Silva. Or what's her name?
Bruna Brazil.
Yeah, sorry. And then fucking Josephine Knudsen goes back after getting knocked out. You know, they called it a head kick, but Bruna Brazil literally just like picked her foot up a little bit and it kicked her in the head. This girl is short, man. They generously call her 5 feet tall. I wouldn't be surprised if she was like 4'8", 4'9". She's short, dude. She is short. Her nickname is the sawed-off savage for a reason. But I think, you know, you go the distance with Josephine Knudsen. That's a decent look, right? Decent.
I mean, it's like another contender series fight. I mean, that was her debut too, I believe. I think they're kind of giving her a layup.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, this isn't a layup for either one of these girls. They're trying to see like, okay, who's going to get cut after this fight? Right. And I think that Marnik Mann knows that, man. I don't think that either one of these girls is great. Neither one of them is going to, you know, sniff the rankings ever. But yeah, give me Marnik Mann. I think she wants it. I think she has a little bit more hate in her heart. And I will take the you took the decision, you said. I will take I'll take a decision as well. I don't like it, but
you gotta bet the over here, you know? Two women's fights and this one's -200 on the distance, you know? So I don't like betting fights that are more likely to go to a decision. I hate that. And especially when it comes to women's MMA, they're going to give it to whoever they want to. And I'm going to go with Jared makes a good point. You know, in a close fight, you do want to, even if you lose, you still want to be on that dog side and then sweat out a -300 via split decision. So, you know, it's kind of like poker. It's like, you know, putting all your money on the 70% favorite and then still losing. But you did the right thing. And then out of 100 times, you're going to do that thing every single time. And that just feels like one of these spots. But does Man get, you know, her Brazilian revenge for Karine Silva? I don't know. We'll see. No, verse for Brazil. Yeah, let's go Man to get the revenge against Brazil. I'll go split decision because let's
like
get greedy.
I don't like that we're all on these low level. We're all agreeing with Liang Na and Marnik Mann.
Can you tell we're not betting too much?
They're both losing for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Realistically, we're making picks just to have fun, right? But this isn't a card where you just go hog wild. I think this is a great card for like DraftKings Fantasy, to be honest, because there's going to be some weird shit that goes on.
So I think cards like this come around once in a while where, like, you know, you don't have too many heavy opinions. This is one that I would like, I might even do this. I'm not sure, but there's 13 fights. You take $130 and straight bet each underdog for $10 and see if you end up with more than 130 at the end of the night. I think you might on this, a card like this.
Yeah, he makes a great point. I've been thinking about a lot. If you're gonna take anything, I got a hot take on the main card, I believe, you know, but that's all.
Okay, I mean, you talking main event or main card?
I believe it's the main card. Might not be the main card. Hold on.
Okay. Well, don't give it away.
I know.
We're going back to you for a heavyweight matchup, Dontayle Mays. He looks like he's got Down syndrome in his damn Tapology picture. I'll show you. It's rough. And it's not because he's black, guys. It's because of his face. Look at that. I mean, how is that your picture? How is that your picture for Tapology? You don't look hard.
Heavyweight Bobby Green, bro.
Oh, man, he wishes.
No,
he
actually, fucking... this is super off topic, but I saw a fucking Indian dude with Down syndrome the other day, and I was like blown away. I've
they
never
come
seen
in all
before.
Shapes and sizes, man.
I know. I've just never seen an Indian one. I didn't know they made those.
Yeah,
it's kind of sick. I wanted to like talk to him.
I saw this thing where it was like it was a kid with Down syndrome, and he was like a gangster, and he was doing like hand signals like a gangster. And what like the most liked comment on Instagram was like, "Oh, they make hood ones too." I was like,
"Yeah,
oh,
I've seen that kid."
That's brutal. But Dontayle Mays is taking on Caio Machado. Both of these guys are very low level, man, and I'm surprised who's favored here. Alex, you can start this off. Caio Machado lost his debut in the UFC to Mick Parkin, who is undefeated somehow, but makes every fight way too close, in my opinion. He's got to be on your fade list, I'm sure, Jared. But Alex, what do you think with this high level heavyweight matchup?
You know, I'm going to be honest. Dontayle Mays got kind of overrated after he went, you know, survived a 3-round beatdown against Ciryl Gane. But he's looked good in previous fights. You know, he was out of all people to finish Arlovski recently. You know, he was the first one to break the streak, you know, other than like, come on, out of all people. So, this fight's a flu. This fight, I would stay a very far away from. Because I'm going to be taking the over here. I see sloppiness. Only person I trust to get a finish is Mays, sadly. But you can't trust either of these guys. And it's going to be a sloppy heavyweight decision. Very boring, I believe. But watch out for, you know, the finishing capability of Mays. He could get it down to the ground, you know, training out of Jackson Wink. We'll see what he does, but I'm going to go with Mays by split decision.
Okay.
Not super confident. You know, would I be shocked if I see him get a head kick knockout or, you know, just get Machado tired and just wear on him against the fence? I wouldn't be shocked, but I'm just going to go with the more likely outcome. And I'm not super confident on this. Wouldn't bet this with your money.
Yeah, I agree, dude. I'm on the same side. I don't know if it goes split decision. Mays could get a finish here, I think, too. Lord Kong versus Bigfoot, dude. Wasn't there literally a King Kong? Oh, no, it was King Kong versus Godzilla. But yeah, there was a movie that just came out like that. So it sounds like one of these, but way more boring. Yeah, dude, give me Dontayle Mays. Give me Dontayle Mays. I think he's realizing, like, you know, he could kind of turn his career around here a little bit. He's only 32. That's a decent age for heavyweight. Kyle Machado, man, this dude that he beat, this Schlafarski, whatever the hell it is, guy. That dude's horrible. And you know, you look at where Kyle Machado's fighting. He's fighting in BFL, I think, in Canada, it's called. Really, really bad promotion. It's like a high level promotion for Canada, but it is Canada. He fought like some literal like 55-year-old man twice. You know, rough look for him. So yeah, give me Mays. This is either like a round one knockout for Mays or a decision. I'll take the round one knockout. Fuck it. What, how wrong can I be? Jared, what do you got here, man?
Thank you for mentioning the my fade list because it is a physical list that I just added McParkin to. Totally forgot to do that.
Good.
It's actually this list is like mostly higher level hype trains that are undefeated, but I'm just gonna start putting these, you know, shitty somehow undefeated in the UFC fighters. So for the shitty ones, I got McParkin and Rodolfo Bellotto up in here. So.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, dude, this is a 1-800 gambler fight of the night. Fight I want zero to do with, but you guys both picked Mays, so I'm gonna go with Machado by KO round one. Both of these guys are bad, and I do not care who wins.
Well said. Let's move on. Get that shit out of our that taste out of our mouths here. Another fight I'm not interested in, man, by any means. Tim Means. I didn't mean to do that. Tim Means by Uros
Yo,
Medic.
you skipped a couple.
Yeah, it just jumped right up. I thought it was Austin Hubbard. So Austin Hubbard versus Mikal Figlak. I don't have a hot take here, man. I don't have too many hot takes on this card. I'll make it pretty clear when I do have one. Just give me Figlak. I don't really have a great reason for it. I just think he's a better fighter, which is crazy to say. I haven't even done any tape study on this. I just don't think too highly of like the Tough Series guys or like the Ultimate Fighter guys, whatever you want to call them. I don't think that they're that the greatest level of talent comes out of that. Who did he fight in that last one where Kurt Holaba?
Kurt Holabow.
You know, just a whatever kind of fight. So yeah, man, give me a Figlak by who gives a shit. I think probably I'll just take decision for Figlak. Jared, what do you got? I think you went second last time. My bad. Alex, what do you got here? Trying to keep it even.
I've been kind of back and forth on this one. It's another one of those 1-800 spots. You know, Austin Hubbard's second stint in the UFC and still not, you know, coming back on a win. I just feel like he's had the more UFC experience, and this is another fight where I see, you know, going to the distance. And could I see a finish here? Could I see someone lay it out on the line? That's the, you know, going to be the UFC 300 effect right there. But I'll go against you guys, go with Hubbard by decision. I'm not super confident. He's going to have to get takedowns to win. I think he could do that. I think he could keep it close on the feet. And, you know, he puts the dog in Mad Dog for Michael Figlap. But,
I feel like you're telling a scary story right now. You sound like Kamaru Usman when you're talking. It's like very suspenseful when you're talking right now.
nightmare.
Okay,
I'm
so what
going
you
to Hubbard decision, not
Hubbard
confident.
decision.
Split again. Three splits in a row.
Hey, I don't think that you're crazy for calling the splits. I mean that you're gonna look I'm not writing split down because that would be a prop, but I mean, you know, we can kind of keep track of that side on the side. I could definitely see that happening. But yeah, you got man split decision, May split decision, and H Hubbard split decision. Jared, what are your thoughts on this high level fight?
You know what? I actually spent a fair amount of time looking into this fight. This is
Okay.
really good matchmaking. Figlak, he tends to come in with a really boxing heavy approach. This dude does not check kicks at all, but he
Ahead
is
of
a
you.
like the textbook fast starter. Like this dude always comes out hot. He is a very, very aggressive style, which takes a toll on your cardio when you're fighting that hard. He has a high output and he wants this fight on the feet. Major red flag with him, his last fight against Fierro Ziam. You know, you're fighting a striker and he got taken down three times by a striker. Granted, he's fairly active off his back. He does have a decent get-up game, but the fact that a striker is still putting you on your back, time after time, it's concerning. And, he's active on his back for about a round and a half, and the activity really takes a drop off as the fight goes on. He's a tough dude, but when you're fatigued, it's hard to stay tough. When I look at L. Ron Hubbard, he's a guy, he's definitely improved fight to fight. And, the submission defense or just the BJJ in general, it's been the consistent issue in his career. That's not something he's going to have to worry about here. The striking is not bad. He's not one shot at a time. The guy's at least throwing combinations. The low kicks are heavy. And I think those low kicks are going to really serve him justice in this fight against a guy with a boxing heavy approach who isn't checking kicks. He's got the experience on his side. He's had a tough career, and I think he's just trying to figure himself out. And his biggest weakness shouldn't be a problem in this fight. If Elrond's going to win this fight, he's going to have to go through an early storm. But if he gets through that storm, I think he's going to figure Figlock out because his shit's pretty basic. I think Hubbard's going to figure that out. And he's going to start to take over this fight. So give me the founder of Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard, by decision.
Okay. Have you looked much into L. Ron Hubbard?
No, dude, all I know of it is that South Park episode. And they had, this is what Scientologists actually believe. And they talk
Yeah.
about Xenu and shit.
Yeah, it's
Fucking
wild, man.
great episode.
There's some crazy shit that the Church of Scientology did. There's this thing they did called Operation Snow White, where they literally, the Church of Scientology, infiltrated the CIA to erase all records and like everything that the CIA had kept on the Church of Scientology. Operation Snow White. Fucking crazy how powerful they got.
Actually, it's funny. I don't. I thought this was a sign. I don't know if you've ever played the story mode of GTA 5, but well, fucking when you're playing that, towards the end of the game, Michael has the opportunity to join the Epsilon, which is like the GTA version of Scientology. And there's like you have to go through like nine steps, and I'm like in the third step of joining Scientology in GTA, and then I see L. Ron Hubbard's fighting this week, and I'm like, oh, I was like, God, is this my sign?
Well, shit. Yeah, I'm the only one that's not on L. Ron, but I feel good. I feel like, we're all on decision, right? Like we all have the decision here. So I think that this does go long. It sounds like you're saying that if there is a decision or a finish that comes early, it's probably on the Figlak side. Figlak might be someone that I definitely throw in a couple fantasy lineups just because of that. He's probably going to be pretty fairly priced, but we'll see, man. Jared, go ahead and go. I'm forgetting who went last. I think I went first, so whatever. And then Alex, you'll go next. We got Rani Yahya. Is it Hani? It is Hani.
Oh,
Hani
you tell
Yahya.
me.
Well, I didn't know if he was from Brazil or not. Hani Yahya versus Victor Henry. Boy, what a bad one. I mean, again, we're gonna be happy that there's some fights, but I'm telling you, there's this theory out there that Dana White and Dave Feldman are friends. I don't know if that's true. I know that they met up, but I wonder if Dana White put this like really bad card together right after 300, the same week that the, BKFC has their like biggest card to date, to kind of like help him out a little bit. You know what I mean? Like I said, I don't know if they're friends, but if you think about it, like why would you have this card going when there's like a high level? I mean, I've already seen more people talking about Knucklemania for like SB Nation and shit like that. They're talking about it a lot, man. It's because this is it might be the worst card that the UFC's put together, honestly, on paper. Now, sure, it's going to be entertaining. There's going to be some finishes, like Alex is saying, but on paper, if you're saying, hey, you can watch this or you can watch this, it's a tough watch here with the UFC, but. Jared, go ahead and tell us who you think wins out of the Brazilian versus the American here.
Well, Rani Yahya, 39 years old, dude's obviously on the tail end of his career. But Victor Henry, he's 36. He's been open about he's here for a good time, not a long time. So we can't pretend he's, some young up and comer with a super high ceiling. But I think it's safe to say Yahya is sub or bust. It just that's how it feels. And even though he doesn't get finished in every fight, the chin is still questionable. This dude gets pinged around, even in his victories. This dude's getting fucking rocked. A lot of the time he's getting dropped or pulling guard and just snatching something up. In my opinion, he's sub or bust. Victor Henry, he's a dude. He's fairly well rounded. I'd say like the first half round, like, round one, he's going to spend the first half of that round just making reads, figuring out what he's dealing with. And, I wouldn't necessarily say he's a slow starter because whenever you land something on him, he does return. But yeah, man, he's just, once he gets going and finds his range and starts getting to a groove, he's high volume. This dude can be a lot of fun to watch. I think as long as this fight's on the feet, it's all Henry. If this fight does hit the mat, I think Henry's technically sound enough to stay out of danger and get back to his feet. I got to side with Henry here. I'm going to say he can get Yaya out of there and probably by knockout. And I'll call it the second round.
Okay. Alex, what you got, man?
This is a strange one because if you think about this, Victor Henry came into the UFC as a plus 400 against Rayoni Barcelos. And now he's sitting here as a minus 500 against Ronnie Yahya. Like, I hate this spot. Because I see a path to victory by Ronnie. He just shows up with that 30-year-old cardio out of nowhere for being 40. And then, just clinches, gets some gross takedowns, and just out pressures Victor Henry. I could see a world where that happens. And could I see a world where he gets that fluky sub? Absolutely. But, I think 9 times out of 10, Victor's gonna beat him up for 3 rounds. Maybe even get a finish as well is very likely in this fight. That knockout is very likely. I'm gonna take the Victor Henry knockout. Makes us all happy after 3 decisions in a row. And the fans will be happy to continue watching.
What round?
So Victor Henry, round one.
Okay. We'll go right back to you for this next matchup, Alex. I like when you start a breakdown off with a sigh like that too. Just like, oh fuck. That was perfect. This is actually a I think this is a fun matchup. It's interesting too. Like, this is one of the only interesting matchups, I think, on paper. And we're talking about Dirty Bird. The Dirty Bird, dude, Tim Means. I did not know he did prison time. That's interesting. Forgive the pop-ups here.
Wait,
But
did you skip one?
I don't think so.
What about wasn't Pierre Sonama? Oh no, I'm sorry, that's after. Changing the
Yeah.
order on me.
Yeah, they might have, dude. They've been fucking moving these things around all week. But yeah, Tim the Dirty Bird Means versus the Doctor Uros Medik. I think that this is a good fight, dude. I've heard some different takes on it. What are your thoughts, Alex?
The dirty bird sees the doctor.
Exactly.
That's funny. I'm gonna go with, I got a hot take. I like Tim Means in this spot at
Yeah.
this dog number, man. Like, honestly, and if you want to get greedy, round one or bust for Medic, I think Tim Means is a great comeback player. I'd be even willing to live bet him if he's getting, if he makes it a round two and he's plus 500, but oh, that might be an auto bet. I just don't think Medic's proven to be a minus 300 against a vet like Tim Means in this spot, But other than a round one knockout, I think Tim Means can get a decision. I think he can win rounds two and three. I think he can win by knockout in those rounds. I'm seeing a late Tim Means comeback. I'm gonna go round two knockout.
Okay. Yeah, that was one of the takes that I had heard out there was that Uros is knockout round one or bust. I'll kind of go in the face of that though. I'll say that Medic gets it done or Medik, whatever the fuck. I actually don't know how to pronounce his damn name, but I would say knockout round two.
He pulls a Nico Price.
What's that?
He's the one losing and gets the comeback against him means.
Well, see, I'm a little, I don't know about that necessarily. I think that he dominates Tim Means and he just hurts him. Like, and Tim Means kind of walks back to the stool a little fucked up. And then, Medic gets it done early in round two, like, maybe sub 1 minute in round, two, or sub 2 minutes. But, yeah, I think that Medik is the side here, man. I know he's improving. I've heard, some people talk about how much he's improving and how much he's really focused. Tim Means, you got to think like, yeah, he wants to do well, but I don't know. I'll tell you this real quick. One thing I'm concerned about with Madik is his submission loss to Jalen Turner. That's a really bad look after what we saw this last week, right? Turner's got no ground
He
game.
trains at a Gracie camp. If he had the IQ, he would have just went into the guard at least. Like, he should trust himself. Like, that was horrible IQ. You gotta jump over that.
Well, that's what I told you, is that he's got bad fight IQ, and I
He
still.
hasn't shown that bad IQ until there's 84% of the public money on him. That's why.
No, man, I think he showed horrible fight IQ against fucking the Hangman dude, Dan Hooker. Showed bad fight IQ there. I see it constantly. Like, if he doesn't get an early finish, he's never won a fucking decision in his career. That tells you right there that he's early finish or bust. Like, straight up. He doesn't have the IQ to be like, okay, I have to adjust. And clearly what I'm doing is not working. So I'm gonna adjust. But he just has never, he's literally never done that in his career. So yeah, the Uros Medic loss to him by sub is not a good look. But I'll go Medic, whatever the fuck we're calling him, the doctor, by knockout in round two, early round two. Late round one's probably the better bet, but I'm going round two for this. Jared, what do you got?
I feel like the common belief that Medic is that he's a round one or bust, but I mean, I think it's just because the way he fights, this dude always ends up in wild exchanges. You know, he has that type of mentality where he's willing to take one to land one. He's a tough dude, and he's willing to brawl. It's just, I know his only two losses are by submission, but both of those were kind of club and subs, and you see the way he works on the ground. He's not clueless. He's not a fish out of water. On the feet, he's pretty good. He mixes things up well. I love the teep kicks or just the body kicks in general. I think in a fight like this, that's going to serve him justice against a guy like Tim Means, or as I call the Wish version of Tom Brady. But, you know, Brady, he comes in here, you know, it's wild because the dude's been in the UFC so long. He has a well-rounded skill set, but he always seems to come in with a real boxing-heavy approach. And then he clinches when he needs to, whether if that's he's tired or he's getting tagged up. If Tim Means is going to win this fight, he needs this fight to be long, ugly, and primarily take place on the ground. But I really don't see Means pushing much more grappling than a clinch. It's hard to get behind him here at 40 years old. I'm gonna side with Medic, and I'm on the same page. I knock out round two.
Okay. I like it. I like that we're on the same side there. Yeah, he's never gone the distance. Medic, never gone the distance. Yeah, we'll see. I think it's a fun fight, though. It's probably one of the funner fights on the card. Let's see. I will take this one. JSP versus David Onama. Jonathan Pierce is he's definitely more of a grappler, right? Like, he likes to do his wrestling, he likes to do his jiu-jitsu. Bad look last time out against Joe Anderson Brito, I think it was, right? Yeah, where they're talking shit to each other and he's like, do something, boy, get up, and like the dude literally gets up and subs him like 10 seconds after that. Bad look. But, you know, JSP is one of these dudes. He's tough. You know, he goes out there to fight. I hate David Onama, dude. After that thing that he did, the fucking bow and arrow thing, just to copy Izzy, that was so stupid. Like, he didn't have any reason. He didn't understand that the three arrows that Izzy shot into Alex Pereira were like the three losses. And then this dude's just pulling out like 80
He's just
arrows.
spamming arrows, dude.
Yeah, and he like his coordination was off. Like, he was grabbing, like he was doing it wrong. It was wild. I'd never seen anything like that. But the dude does hit hard. He has kind of a little bit of a gas tank issue. This is why he lost to Nate Landwehr, right? Beat the shit out of Nate Landwehr, and then Nate Landwehr comes back and does what Nate Landwehr does. After he gets hit a few times, he you know, he's able to come back and overwhelm his opponent. I just think that. Like, I'm gonna go against what I want to happen. What I want to happen is Jonathan Pierce to knock this dude the fuck out, because I think, like I said, I can't even overstate how fucking annoyed I was when David Onama did that. I don't know why it made me so mad. It shouldn't make me that mad, really. Right? I mean, it shouldn't make you that mad. It was just annoying. But I think that David Onama has the tools to get this done. I think that he's improving probably at a quicker rate than Jonathan Pierce. I think that on the ground, this isn't that crazy unmatched in favor of Pierce. I think that Onama can hold his own down there. But I think on the feet, Onama hits a lot harder, and I think he's quicker. I think. It's a little tough to call. This is another good matchup. But I'm going to go David Onama, and probably, like, we're seeing, like, a knockout round one, knockout round two. For the sake of this, I'll go knockout round one. Jared, what do you got in this one, dude?
Actually, I got a funny story about that Onama-Landwehr fight. Alex was there for it, and this is one that I am like, thank God my friends are pussies. It was me, Alex, and our friend Andrew, and Onama against Landwehr. They were both on Landwehr. I had Onama as like the last leg on a couple parlays, and he was like minus fucking 400 or 500, something stupid. And I was like overly confident in him, and I had bet Alex and Andrew. I wanted one of them to accept the bet. I forget whose idea it was, but basically, if Nate Landwehr were to lose, whichever one of them has to get the tattoo on their chest, the train. And if Onama loses, I would get the train tattooed on my chest. And thank fucking God, Alex and Andrew are both pussies, and I didn't have to get that tattoo. But right now, I would have the train tattooed on my chest, and I would also have blessed on the other side because I had Chandler over Poirier.
Damn.
So but yeah, that
you guys didn't take the blessed bet either.
No, they're fucking pussies. But in fairness, Alex, that would be his first tattoo, and for that to be your first tattoo, that's a tough sell.
Yeah, that's rough.
Hey, yeah. Actually, same with our other friend too. I don't know. They're just both fucking, I don't know, pussies.
Like I'd have to tell that story like 1,000 times.
Yeah, dude, that's pretty great. Yeah, like, I lost a bet. And everyone's like, no, you fucking didn't. You just wanted that tattooed on you. Like,
bro, I just wouldn't go to the beach anymore. Fucking no more pools.
Yeah, you're done. You're,
I got to fight in spandex like a fat chick.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you swim in the pool with a t-shirt on like a fat Mexican uncle.
I don't want to get a sunburn, bro.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But yeah,
what do you think about this, though, Jaren?
Well, I think Jonathan Pierce is crossbreed between TJ Dillashaw and Khabib, so I call him TJ Nurmagomedov just based off his looks. And David Onama is the cringy wannabe Adesanya.
Yeah,
but aside from that shit, Onama, I mean, he's a dude, he doesn't want to get in a brawl. He wants it to be a kickboxing match. He's a sharp striker and he wants to stay that way. He wants to be at range and land his shit at will. He's high volume. One thing to note about him, the takedown defense is not good, even though he does have a pretty decent get-up game. But I question his cardio because we've seen him slow down before. And I question his chin. Dude, this guy doesn't wear punches too well. I've seen him get knocked around quite a bit. TJ Nurmagomedov on the other side, he's definitely better on the ground. I don't think it's by a landslide, but I think he's better on the ground. Yeah. But if he has the perfect style that beats David Onama. He has a smothering, draining type of style. If he pushes that grapple heavy approach, he can wear Onama down and probably get him out of here late. This is like a on paper striker versus grappler, but the grappler in this fight isn't that bad on the feet, and the striker in this fight isn't that bad on the ground. When I really break it down, I just think Jonathan Pierce has more ways to win this fight. I think he can make this long and very tiring for Onama, and not to be too harsh, but I kind of see a quitter in Onama. I've seen the dude fold under pressure, and it's tough for me to get behind that. So I'm going to say Pierce can find a submission. I'm going to call it late. I'm going to say comes in round three.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. Submission round three for Pierce. I agree. He's a quitter, but I just think that he gets him out of there before he has a chance to quit. Like I said, I hate Onama. I can't stand him, but I got to try and call it like I see it. Alex, where are you at here?
I'm kind of the other way around. I kind of don't like Pierce. I'm on Pierce, but I just don't like – I like Onama as a fan more. You know, because I had Brito in that last fight, and that was like one of the best feelings to see that happen, you know, to a trash talker mid fight. And, you know, I'd be just for your audience, watch Media Day. It's going to come out. See if he has an interview. Watch his recent interviews. See what kind of mood he's in. If he's still in that shit talking mood, you know, might be a time for David Onama to win, but, I'm going to go with Pierce here. I think he smartens up his act. He does have more ways to win. I'm going to go with the decision here. Unanimous.
Okay. I don't hate it. Alex, do you want to take this one as well? And then, Jared, you can do the next one. Help me remember. But, yeah, I think it's Janata. Looks like someone forgot, like, a letter or two in here. Janata Deniz. Versus Austin Lane. And you may not know this, guys, but Austin Lane played for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Did you guys know that? Have you heard that 1,000 fucking times? Because anytime someone says this guy's name, they mention that he was an ex-NFL player.
I'm so glad you're being sarcastic right there.
It looked like you were nodding your head, like, seriously. You're like,
I'm like, yep, here we go again. The same fucking thing everyone knows.
Yeah, dude. No, everyone says this. It's almost like it was like Jim Miller last week, right? Where it's like, so he's fought on UFC 100, 200, and now 300. It's like, what? Oh, shit. It's the first time I'm hearing this.
You're serious?
Yeah.
Who else? We got to bet him to win 300 now.
Yeah.
The trifecta. Wait, he had one knockout, one decision. So he'll win this one by submission. We got it.
Doctor stoppage. Yeah, dude. No, it was. I hate those mainstream talking points where they just beat them into the ground. But who do you have in this one, Alex? You're starting here. You got the undefeated kickboxer, and I put that in heavy quotes because this dude's kickboxing fucking sucks. But he's also taking on just a chinny fucking Austin Lane.
Yeah, I do think Janata hits hard. Wouldn't bet this fight. You know, I've lost money on Lane in the past. He's did me dirty. You know, he kind of owes me, and this probably is the spot where he'll show up when I don't bet him. But I'm just quickly picking the fight. I like Janata. I think he hits harder. He's going to have the weight advantage. I think he gets a knockout here early. Round one. Herb Dean's in there to help. He does what he didn't do in the Turner fight.
What you need is that fucking midget dwarf from New Jersey, that troll-looking dude that called, like, every fight as soon as someone got punched. Dude, every time I see Austin Lane, man, I want to pick him. Like, he looks like a physical specimen, dude. He was in the NFL, for God's sake. You know, he's an athletic dude. He's tall. He's rangy. He's got great footwork. He moves so well. But he, you know, he's an athletic guy, but an athlete is not a fighter. Especially in the heavyweights, I like siding with the athlete, but I don't think I can do that here. It probably is another pass. I think that you probably bet this fight ends, you know, under 1.5 rounds. I think I see a round one knockout coming, but, yeah, give me Denise, knockout round one. And, I'm sorry, Alex, what did you say? Denise, what?
I'm going to go, knockout round one as well.
Okay. Jared, please tell me you're not siding with us, that we're not all on the same page again.
I am not siding with you guys. You guys are passing. I'm taking it here, whatever. I one thing I like about Austin Lane is this dude went out and eye poked both Tafa brothers like a fucking G. Just found that hilarious. Like, he, you know, that no contest eye poke with the first Tafa, and then he gets to fight his brother. In like less than 30 seconds in, he eye pokes him. Hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, shortly got knocked out after that. But aside from that, he does, you know, you touched on it. He moves really well for a guy his size. I mean, he's pretty light on his feet for a fucking dude that's 6'6". I mean, he moves around pretty well. I'd like the body kicks. It seems a lot of the time he's just blasting body kicks and then blitzes in with punches, which has gotten him into trouble in the past. But when I looked at the worst way I've ever seen somebody spell Jonathan, he's a kickboxer with a 22-7 record. It seems pretty good on paper, right? Well, I look at his MMA record, dude, 6-0. He's fought nothing but cans, but he's doing what he's supposed to do with these cans, and he's finishing in the first round. One thing that kind of jumped out at me is, in so far in his 6 MMA fights, he's been the bigger guy in every fight. When I look at his kickboxing when he was in Glory, He has 7 losses as a pro kickboxer. All 7 of those losses, he was the smaller guy. It seems like when he's outsized, he doesn't do well and he has a hard time finding his range. But like, oh, wow. Just even watching him finish, you know, mind you, these guys he's finishing are bumps, but even in those, like, his speed doesn't jump out at me. The power isn't anything to write home about. It's just he's a step above a very low level. I don't even know if I'd call this dude entry-level UFC fighter. In my opinion, this dude ain't nothing special. And my rule of thumb, contender series, and you're over, you know, contender series dude making your debut, and you're over minus 200, auto fade for me. I'm going to take the land side. Whichever way this fight goes, I would imagine it ends in a first-round knockout.
Trend's been hit, too.
I'm going to side with Lane, round one KO. I don't see anything special with fucking Jonathan over here.
Dude, I agree. I mean, yeah, there's nothing special with the dude. It's just I've lost confidence in Lane. And I did want to point out one thing, too. You said that he poked both Taffa brothers. I would love to actually see that for sure. It was Justin Taffa where he had the no contest poke, and then he fought right. Justin Taffa again.
Oh, okay. Damn, I thought, all right, yeah, I got it mixed up. Then I thought it was each brother. I'm like, that is fucking hilarious.
Well, the reason, too, is because he was supposed to fight Junior before he fought Justin.
Right, and then he stepped in on a few days' notice, right, and still knocked his ass out.
I don't know. Well, no, because so it was a canceled bout with Junior Taffa, then the no contest because of the eye pokes with Justin, and then they ran that back and Justin Taffa knocked him out in a minute and a half. But yeah, if you remember that though, he did poke him right away, and Justin was like, "What the fuck, dude? Like, hilarious. I've taken 7 eye pokes from you." So yeah, pretty good. But anyway, man, you got can't tell if Ariana Lipsky's hot, but Jared, you're taking this first. Karini Silva. Hot. Versus Ariana Lipsky. She's hot, but she's got a little weird thing going on with her eyes, a little cross-eyed. No,
knock it off. It ain't up for debate. If you were given the opportunity, you're all over it.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'd
fuck well yeah, Silva. Right. The question is she hot? Not would you fuck her? Two completely different questions, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, come on, it's a high level MMA athlete. You know, she's got a nice body. You know? It just
What are you hating on her eyebrows?
No, her eyes. Like, this isn't a good picture, but when she's a little – I'll see if the UFC website shows it. She's got a little frog eye situation.
I don't see anything wrong with that picture.
Yeah, well, I'll try and pull
maybe it. Maybe some Muay Thai headpiece on her head getting me going.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun look. While I'm looking for this picture that I'm talking about, go ahead and give your thoughts on this, Jared.
Yeah, well, I'll start with Karini. So, I mean, this girl, she's definitely fucking strong. She's not the fastest in her striking, but she definitely hits hard. She throws a lot of front kicks, and those front kicks, like, she'll throw a lot of front kicks, and then it opens up like she kind of spams 1-2 head kick, 1-2 head kick. And, you know, she's all right on the feet. I don't think she's on Lipsky's level on the feet. In this fight, the ground is path of least resistance, but Lipsky, dude, her striking's always been solid with the Muay Thai, and the biggest weakness for her has been her grappling. I can't talk while you're fucking showing
this. Well, you see the eyes, right? You see it. You see what I'm talking about.
What, like a little bit of a lazy eye?
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. I'm just saying. It's something.
You know what? That's like a side look, though. Look at her looking straight on the camera. Yeah. There's not one. It's not like she's fucking Verna Jandarova.
Yeah, Raul Rosas' you know? Twin.
Yeah, her eyes aren't fucking... aren't that bad.
No, I hear you, but
anyway. But yeah, you know, she's looking at you and the door at the same time.
Yeah, but she can protect the house.
But either way, dude, this girl, I love the Muay Thai style, and I love that everything she throws, she's throwing combinations. Every combination, she ends it with a kick. Her grappling and takedown defense has been like the weak point consistently in her career, but she's shown huge improvements, especially lately. I just think she's a girl that's really, really evolving as a fighter. And, you know, Silva's got a fair amount of hype behind her. And this is a big test for her. I see her having a hard time finding Lipsky on the feet. If she's smart, she's going to try to get this to the ground early. But, you know, I don't think it's one-sided on the feet, but I think Lipsky's probably going to find the better of the exchanges. I think she's a little bit faster. Maybe not as much power, but speed kills. I think she can land the shots she needs to land, and I'm just going to believe in the improvements that I've seen. So I don't think it's a clear-cut winner. I think it could even be a split decision, but I'll side with Lipsky to take a decision here.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And before I give my prediction, Lipsky has improved a lot. She kind of like she sucked in the beginning of her career a little bit, right? Like she was having some
Yeah.
questionable
I
losses.
used to hate on her a lot, but
She's improved.
I can't deny it.
Yeah. Alex, can I guess who you're picking here? I think that you're picking Silva.
Oh, he's taking Silva for sure.
You picking Silva?
Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
picking.
Tell us why.
I hate that I'm scared. Am I as confident in her against Lipsky as I've been in the past on her in
Yeah.
previous fights? No.
Yeah.
I'm scared. Do I think she can knock her out? Yes. Do I think
Okay.
she's gonna get out volumed on the feet? Yes. Do I think she can get takedowns, get reversed, not do anything with them, waste time? Yes. Do I like the line movement that was plus 130 on the opening and now she's standing at plus minus 150? I hate it. You missed the buy spot on Silva here, in my opinion. If you didn't have her at plus 130, it's hard to take her at minus 150 right now. But that plus 130, I should have ran to the book, doubled down on that, because that was the spot. Karine Silva as a dog in this spot is the right line at plus
Sure.
130.
You
That's
should have
where
a
I would
dog
have
now.
taken it. My pick, I want to see Silva win. I want her to win. I think she can do it. I think she has ways to win. But if this goes to a decision, I don't want nothing to do with this. I will have a bet on Karine Silva by finish only. It's probably going to be juiced to hell, like minus 250. But it's just a safer spot so that I'm not getting screwed by the judges. I don't think, I think 7 times out of 10, Lipsky's winning the decision here if it goes the distance. Maybe even more than that.
With a finish only, if you took Karina Silva by decision only, if Karina Silva wins, or I'm sorry, by finish only, if Karina Silva wins the decision, do you get your money back?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not like she has to win by finish, right? Obviously, if Lipsky wins by decision, you get your money back. But if Lipsky wins by finish, you lose your money.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm on the Lipsky side as well. You had Silva KO what round?
Round one.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's interesting that the books align this because it seems like a no-brainer that Silva should be favored here. Why did the books align Lipsky as the favorite initially? Why? What do they know? What do they know? You always got to ask yourself that. Do they like, lazy-eyed, attractive Brazilian women more than, Afro-Latinas? I don't know, but I know I do, and I'm gonna be taking Ariana Lipsky. Probably, I don't know if I see a finish, man. I really don't know if I see a finish, because Silva's tough, but I could see a sub coming in at some point. Give me Lipsky sub round two. I always say that when I'm not confident. So yeah, give me the sub round two for Ariana Lipsky. How many times has she submitted people? 3 times. This would be your second submission in round two. Was it 3 times or maybe 4 times? How many times has Silva lost by the submission? Let's just see. Because everyone's focusing on the knockout here.
Hold up, I checked out for a second. You say you're taking Lipsky by submission?
I'm taking Lipsky by submission, round two.
It's pretty wild.
Well, hey.
Just with, being a, having an extensive Muay Thai career like her.
Well, yeah, she's gotten a decent amount of submissions. If you look at it, watch, check this out. I'm trying to pull up. My computer's running a little slow. She's gotten 4 submissions, and one of them was in round two.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not trying to talk you out of it or tell you you're right
Oh,
or
you
wrong.
won't.
I just don't see it.
The power
I know
of.
I won't. You seem very set in your ways.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at the power of Silva, right? Like, that's what we're talking about is the knockout. Like, yeah, she's going to be able to
That's
piece
right.
her up. But what if there's like just a sloppy fucking takedown? It takes one time, and then she's able to hop on the back or catch her in some weird spot.
I don't think of Karina Silva as a. A only knockout there. I actually think for Silva, her path to victory is submission. She has good takedowns. She's if they get in
She
a
hits
clinch,
hard
she is
though.
the stronger girl for
You get that
sure.
knockout effect though.
Yeah, it's not that she. I'm not saying she doesn't have knockout power, but I'm saying she. If they end up in a clinch, she's gonna be the stronger girl. She can very likely get this to the ground, and once it's there, she has all the ability in the world to finish.
Yeah, 100%. Most of those knockout wins for Silva are ground and pound knockouts, right?
Right.
Like that's how it is. But I just think that she gets a little bit greedy with that. And like I said, man, I think they're going to spend a lot of time on the ground. And like I said, I'm sticking with Lipsky by
As a Lipsky bettor, I really hope they don't spend a lot of time on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's going to be tough. I don't know her takedown defense stats and all this stuff as far as Lipsky goes, but
It used to be as low as 12%, and now it's sitting at 79.
okay.
That wild?
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that she's improved that much.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But I mean, think about it, a guillotine, she could catch her in all these things, you know? I feel like when I like have a feeling about the sub round two, I stick with it. That's just what I'm going with, man. Like I said, I'm not confident. I wouldn't recommend people follow it, but I just see a weird Lipsky kind of finish here. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I will take this co-main, and then you guys can do this main event. Ryan Spann versus Anthony Smith's evil twin Bogdan Guskov. These guys do look pretty similar. I think it's mostly like the nose, something weird about that nose there with Anthony Smith and this guy. I gotta say, man, I'm not confident in Guskov. But at the same time, I'm not confident in Ryan Spann either. Ryan Spann's just a big dude. His best win lately was fucking Dominic Reyes. And, like Ion Cutelaba, I don't, is he even in the fucking UFC anymore? I thought he got
Yeah.
cut. Are you sure?
Nope. But I he's gotta be.
Gotta sneeze. I swear to God, I saw somebody get cut and I thought it was Ion Cutelaba. Maybe not. But yeah, Dominic Reyes, I think, is his best win as far as Ryan Spann goes in his last five. He's lost to Anthony Smith twice. He kind of beat him that second time. And then Nikita Krylov, who I don't think of very highly. Ryan Spann's very powerful. He's always live for a knockout. He's live for a submission too, because people shoot in on him because they're afraid of his power. I just think everyone's low on Guskov, and he shook out those UFC jitters. And I think
Everyone's low on Guskov.
Yeah, dude. If I heard so many people when he was fighting Zach Paunga, so many people were taking Paunga because they were like, dude, he
Including
went
you.
in. What's that?
I said including you. I had to get that out of my system
Oh
real
yeah, no,
quick.
I was on. That's what I'm saying, dude. Everyone was on Zach Paunga because of his fight against Volkan fucking Ozdemir, dude. Do you guys hold Volkan Ozdemir in very high regard? Because I don't. And he went out there and lost to this dude. So, he goes out, he beats this dude, dominant fashion, knocks him out. I think he goes and he does probably the same thing to Ryan Spann. I think he might knock out Ryan Spann. So I'm going to take knockout round one for Bogdan here. Alex?
I'm on the other end. I like Ryan Spann. I think he gets one takedown and he wins this fight. I think he has multiple ways he can win in this fight. He can win it on the feet. He's the bigger guy, longer reach, crisp jab, better resume, proven to be a can sometimes too as well. A lot of people talk about, how there's two Ryan Spann. Sometimes he just shows up and he's just that guy. And sometimes he shows up and you didn't think he was the last fighter. You didn't think he was the last guy who fought in his last fight. He's just like, unpredictable. I like him here though. He gets one takedown. He gets that neck. It's over. I like Ryan Spann first round sub. I like the under in this fight as well. I see violence.
Yeah. He lost to your nemesis, by the way, Johnny Walker.
I bet on Johnny in that fight.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. Just he is very unpredictable.
He
Both
did
looks good.
that was not a good bet though either. I mean, he got knocked out twice before getting the knockout.
Yeah.
And depending on the ref, I could have lost that fight. Like, come on.
Yeah, but
Those are
you didn't.
another spots you want to dodge, but it is what it is.
One of these Fortis MMA
Yeah.
guys too, right? With Saif Saud. I used to think very I like Saif Saud very much as like an analyst, but his coaching I think is bad because he I think loses his fighters fights because he's yelling at them so much, telling them that they're fucking up so bad, and the judges hear it and they're like, well, shit, I think he might have won that round, but the coach is mad at him. I'm gonna give it to the other guy. So yeah, I respect the pick there. You have Span by knockout,
submission,
sub in round one.
Yeah,
perfect. Jared,
well, I'm gonna join you guys on the round one bandwagon. I'm going Ryan Span round one knockout. Ryan Span's already lost it. Bro, he's already lost to Anthony Smith twice. He's not losing to Anthony Smith again, especially since he got all his tattoos.
He might have that actually funny. Though.
I'll give Bogdan some credit, though. I mean, I'm sorry, I'll give Anthony Smith some credit. It's really admirable that he's taking, you know, he's about to fight Ryan Span for the third time, and he's fighting next week. You got to respect that.
Anthony Smith, but yes.
Yes, that we're talking about him.
No, you said he's about to fight Ryan Span for the third time. I know what you mean.
Yes, he is. It's right in, it's on the screen, bro.
Oh, you're saying... Oh, okay. I get what you're saying.
See, now it's not funny anymore.
That went right over my head.
Thanks for fucking killing the joke, man.
Yeah, we can edit it. We can edit it. But
No, leave it up. But yeah, this is one, dude. I'm not going to overthink this. Bogdan, this dude ain't shit. A Zach Pauga win is not impressive. Volkan loss is also not impressive. I don't know. I don't think this dude's worth shit. And this is, I mean, you're telling me this guy's 1-1 in the UFC. His only win is against a guy who was not good coming off the Ultimate Fighter, a season of like the worst Ultimate Fighter guys ever. That's your only win in the UFC. And now you're fighting the number 11th ranked Ryan Span. Like, not that Ryan Span's some world beater, but you don't need to beat a guy like this. Ryan Span's going to knock this dude out all day.
Okay. Yeah, I like the confidence there. I wanted to like Ryan Span a lot, but then when he lost to Nikita Krylov, I changed my mind about him. Maybe I'm wrong for doing that. Looks like he's also got a blessed tattoo on his shoulder there. So,
oh yeah, see, mine would have been a lot bigger though. I would have had the Chandler one.
Yeah, that's kind of a hacky tattoo to get these days.
We were saying too, it'd be funny if like now we just like make up these tattoos now, like. Like hypothetically, like having like the train blessed, the damage, that little weird thing Cyril Gaon has on his stomach. Like we could just make like the ultimate fucking retard, and then like it'd be awesome to go to the beach and have him run into a UFC fan and be like, "Yo, what the fuck are you?"
You could do like the blessed damaged train. You could just throw it exactly. All, mix up a bunch of different words, and then put the Philippines, John Jones shit in there, all that stuff.
Yeah, that was another one. And actually, with the Eyes Poirier one, we were talking, instead of bless, get like that Noel or whatever it says on Poirier's chest.
Oh, yeah, Parker and Noel, yeah. The fucking eyes that Justin Gaethje has, those no fear eyes on his
Yeah, no, that one's come up too. Yeah, I was glad to be on Holloway because I would have taken that bet for sure.
Yeah, dude. Well, Holloway's got some nice tattoos. You get a little Hawaiian tribal shit on your chest. That's a hard
one.
Well,
see, now that's the thing, though. It can't be a cool tattoo. It's got to be like the worst tattoo that person has.
Well, yeah. Then, I mean, we got to talk about the Jamal Hill thumbs up.
Oh, dude. I think I might have sent you it. It was like Jamal's new tat, and it was like Photoshop the two thumbs down. It's pretty
well,
good.
Well, dude, I got some dope cards. I sent you the one. I have a couple dope cards of Jamal Hill.
Yeah, actually, I just noticed you're fucking not all up in my face anymore.
I got a little webcam back there. I can do little tricks with it too. I can change the mode, black and white. Look at that.
Oh, look at you.
Real fucking fancy.
I mean, you're not all up in my face anymore, but I kind of miss you.
Well, I mean, we can switch it back next episode. You see up my nose. But Alex, you can take this first one, then Jared, you can do it. I'll pull out in the rear here. Mateus Nicolau, man, this dude just got cold cocked his last fight, and his beautiful girlfriend, I think it was Luana Carolina's his girlfriend, in his corner just flipped out. It looked like she just saw her man get murdered by a raw dog, and I don't blame her. It was a bad fucking knockout. I think it was a flying knee, if I remember right. Bad knockout. He's taking on Alex Pereira, who has not won in 15 years. This guy, you know, went out, he made a good showing for himself against Makhachev, but I think we're starting to realize Makhachev kind of fights everybody very closely. He had a couple really dominant performances early on, but that dude is not good, man. He better be on the fucking fade list.
I'm not just starting to realize that. I have, that dude's been on my fade list since his debut.
Well, so look, You won't believe me because of how I said that, but if you ask the Nick from fucking Australia, the dude that I used to do this with, I hated on him every time he picked Muhammad Mukhaev. He would always have him by round three sub though. And that's how he fucking wins, is by round three sub, because it looks like he fucks around the whole fight and then just stumbles into a sub. I had Jafal Filo. I had everyone that he's ever fought. I've never bet on him other than in his last fight where he probably should have fucking lost. But then he said that he got the staph infection. He ends up winning because the UFC wants to protect their undefeated prospects. So anyway, not a fucking fan of Makhachev, but you know, the guy knows how to get it done, at least for right now. And Alex Perez fought him, I think, pretty well. Alex, what are your thoughts on this Brazilian versus, I think it's another, oh no, it's an American. What do you think?
I think this might be one of the worst. Why is it Ryan Spann even the main event here? You know,
A lot of
this
people said
main
that.
event is horrible. But
It's not that bad. What are you talking? This is good
it's
matchmaking.
it is good
Bro,
matchmaking, but
we're
come
coming
on,
off the
man.
best card in UFC history, and we're going into a really, really stacked card. Of course, the one in between is, it's weak.
I know, but they could have. This is a filler card. Like, come on,
Yes.
this isn't a real main event. Neither of these guys even went 5 rounds. I don't think either of these guys can even go 5 rounds.
Oh, they'll go 5 rounds. This is going the distance. I think they're going to stare at each other a lot.
I don't think this is going the distance. I think
Okay.
this is going to be a lot of fun. You know, these guys. You know, it's not gonna wow the fans, but the people who are watching are gonna enjoy this fight. This is a great stylistic matchup. I think we're gonna see a lot of everything, but to be honest, I gotta go with Matheus Nicolau because he's got more ways to win. I think he's got the takedowns. I think he's got the BJJ advantage, you know, and that's where Perez is lacking. But if you look at these odds at +155 after coming off of 3 losses, and now you're getting a main event, he's gonna have a fire lit under his ass. Am I gonna be shocked if Alex Perez wins this fight? I'm not gonna be shocked at all. So, definitely not gonna be betting this fight, but Ali Mateus wins by round three sub. Perez gets tired.
Yeah, Perez kind of getting a lucky opportunity here. Kopp versus Nicolau would have been a great fight, man. That would have been really fun to watch. I would have had Kopp all day there, but that would have been cool. And it would have been really nice too, because fucking Ryan Spann looks exactly like Schoolboy Q. I don't know if you know who Schoolboy Q is, but he looks exactly like him. And he's signed to Kendrick Lamar, and we all know that Kendrick Lamar is literally Manel Kopp. So it was just like both these guys, they're on the same label. They would have both went out there and fought together. It would have been awesome. So you know, it is what it is. We'll take this subpar matchup. But Jared, what are your thoughts here?
I think no matter which guy you have in this fight, it's going to be sweaty. I do love Perez for that last fight, which I do think he should have gotten that win. But you know, with a close decision, they're not going to give him the nod unless you're trying to rob the people betting. But dude, he's like Makhachev has been on the fade list since day one. I've rode him every fight waiting to fade. Watching that fight, I was like, oh my God, I fucking missed it. You know, I've been waiting so long to fade this guy, and here I am watching him lose, and he somehow gets a nod. But I'm glad Perez kind of reiterated that Makhachev is right where he belongs on my fade list. Can't wait. And he's getting high in the rankings now, dude. You can't hide much longer. So,
Yeah.
not too many more favorable matchups coming his way. But Perez, he's a pretty well-rounded dude. He's got good takedown defense. If he does end up on his back, he knows how to create scrambles. He's active on the feet. I like his movement. He's not a stationary target. He doesn't stand around and wait to get hit. And Nicolau, you know, he just took a year off after that brutal knockout. I mean, you know, that was bad. You know, he took a year off. I'm sure it was much needed. But his style, he's a really sharp striker, but I definitely think he's more of a counter striker. I wouldn't say he's a slow starter, but he does tend to pick his shots, and it seems like he doesn't throw something if he doesn't 100% believe it's going to land. But I mean, he's well-rounded too. I mean, I don't know who I'd give the edge to on the ground. Maybe I'd give the edge to Nicolau on the feet. I mean, I kind of see Perez having the higher output. Maybe Nicolau lands bigger shots, and then every round you're looking at each other like that could go either way.
Yep.
So I see it being a close fight. It's going to be sweaty whichever side you're on. So put a gun to my head, I'm going to say Nicolau wins a sweaty decision. But I won't hit on anyone taking Perez here.
Yeah, dude, I was laughing a little bit because you were like, I'm not saying he's a slow starter, and it made me think of like these fucking like, you've seen these like motivational speaker influencers where like they'll say something but then immediately contradict themselves. And
Is
so I
that
was
that's pretty
thinking,
much exactly what I just did.
well, no, I thought you were literally gonna say and that's why I laughed. I was like, I'm not saying he's a slow starter, but he does start slow. I thought you were gonna say
Oh, that would
something
have been
like that.
perfect.
But no, what you said made a lot of sense actually. Man, I don't want to side with Nicolau here, especially both you guys are doing it too. Like it is tough. But he's known about this fight longer. He was training for a much better fighter. I think that Perez is definitely good. People think of him as old because he's kind of been out of the game for a little while. I think his what was he out for? Yeah, 2 years after he lost to Davison Figueiredo. Then he fought Alexandre Pantoja. What, 2 years after that, right? So we're 3 years ago, 1 year ago, almost over a year and a half ago, and then he comes back after a long time off, fights Muhammad Mukhaev, and then he's turning around 6 weeks later. That doesn't seem like it bodes very well for him. It seems like he likes to take a lot of time off lately. So yeah, dude, give me Nicolau. I think it's a decision. I think that Nicolau is very calculated here, and he just wants to defend his spot. If I'm not mistaken, he's definitely higher up in the rankings, right? Do we know that for a fact?
Sorry, I fucking checked out for a second, got a weird text.
Oh no, you're good. Trying to see what the rankings are for the flyweight division, because what my theory here is that he just wants to hold his
What
ranking.
is it? Perez is no, Nicolau's five. I think Perez is just outside the top 10, I want to say.
Perez
I got it
is
somewhere. Hold on.
Perez
Yeah,
is
Mateus.
eight.
Oh, he's number eight.
Yeah, Mateus Nicolau, I think, wants to hold his he wants to hold his ranking. He was planning on doing
Nicolau is
so
five.
against, yeah, 5 and 8. He was planning on fighting the number six. He's getting a little bit of an easier matchup. I don't know how you stay in the damn flyweight rankings that long for being so inactive, but whatever. He's one
Probably
spot.
a placeholder for a guy they want to build like Mikhail.
Yeah, I mean that's exactly what happened, right? So yeah, I think Nicolau is probably the more talented guy. You mentioned he's a counter striker, and I think that he tries to counter strike. He doesn't mind just sitting there and staring at Perez, who's going to be wanting him to throw as well. And these guys are going to look at each other for a lot of the time. This might be very low volume, and I definitely think it goes the distance. So I'm taking Nico by fucking decision. That's
Mikhail
fine.
Mikhalov.
Yeah, I'm calling him Nico just because it's Nico, right? Easy. I abbreviate all these guys, every single one. I got Maha for Mahachete. Nah, you can't really abbreviate, but
And call Machete. Quick, easy.
yeah, I guess. But yeah, man. I mean, it's definitely it's not the best card. But don't we get 301 next week?
Yes, we do. And that
So.
card is stacked. I think I texted you guys like just about every matchup on that card is pretty compelling.
Yeah, it's definitely fucking better than this, and it's gonna be a fun one to kind of look forward to. I'll pull it up here real quick just to see what we're getting ourselves into. Got Ryzen. Got one too.
Yes, we do.
UFC 301 in Brazil. Yeah, the Steve Ercig matchup with Pantoja is pretty interesting. I obviously Ercig doesn't deserve the title shot yet, but I think he could actually pull it off.
You get hype for it. He's the hype train.
Yeah, man.
I think they're gonna let him get it.
I mean, if he keeps it close, I think they will because he's definitely got much more of an entertaining style than Pantoja. Pantoja's kind of boring, dude. Like, that speech that he
I
made
think
after he
Steve
beat.
Carell is gonna win, man.
I was
Yeah.
just about to say, you see all
This
those
man
memes.
is just getting so many hype. He is trending everywhere I see, to be honest, from all the memes. I'm all over Steve Ercik in that fight. Please don't let me change my pick because when I'm this confident this early, I need to stick with it.
Yeah, I'm gonna take him too, man. Not to spoil too much, but the first fight of the night, you got Ismael Bonfim versus Vince Pichel. That was a fight that was supposed to happen a while ago, And that's going to be a good one, dude. I think that the reason that that fight fell through is Bonfim missed weight and Pichel was like, no, fuck you. You got to, you know, make weight to fight. So they rescheduled that. Elvis Brenner is fighting Oralby. Joe Anderson Brito versus Jack Shore. Yeah, man. Good fights, dude. Joaquim Silva, Dracar Close. That's a good one. Pereira versus Pateria. That's a fucking banger. Definitely not getting outside of round one. Petrino versus Smith. Rest in peace, Smith. Yeah, good matchups, man. For sure. It's going to be a fun one. But anything else you guys want to say other than the four-teamer steamer, the parlays? What else are we getting into? Anything?
Fucking that's it. What have you guys been doing the last week without UFC? I've been fucking just work, training. I did some spring cleanup outside, fucking getting it looking nice, trimming hedges and shit.
Fuck yeah.
And I'm fucking losing on tennis because I'm bored.
Yeah, nice farmer's tan going on.
Oh, bro, I'm fucking out there, bro.
Dude, I still bet on, you know, basically every combat sporting event last week. I bet on the PFL, I bet on Cage Warriors, and then I bet on the boxing event. The boxing was actually fun, man. It was funny in our little chat. You said, you know, we need to make sure that we don't lose our money. These MMA bettors, we need to stick in our lane and stuff. And I was thinking like, yeah, probably. I already had like $400 like up. I was like, you probably should stay in my lane.
You're like, shit, that's a good point.
Yeah, but it ended up working out really well, man. I actually made like more than I make on average with UFC betting. Cause dude, UFC betting is hard. It really is fucking hard. Like some high level bettors are still like 60-40 with their picks, man. Just because like the talent, anything can happen. Boxing is pretty fucking rigged. Like if you look at a boxing card, look at the, like how many times the big favorite, right? There's usually these -1200 favorites and shit like that. Look at how many times they have scored knockouts and just bet on the over under on the line. Like they usually set the line really nice. There was one dude that he's got like 18 wins, 11 of them were by knockout and the line was set at 7.5 and he got the knockout in round six. And I just bet the under. Like they set those really fucking accurately. And with the UFC, it's like fucking all over the place, man. So I'm definitely going to look at betting more boxing cards. Maybe that's how they get me. But
what I find with boxing, you know, there's always like you got like a minus fucking 1,000 and up. Like there's so many mismatches. What I found is every time there's like a reasonably close one, if you see +200 or below, take the dog.
Yeah, yeah. That happened this weekend. And then
Right before the Garcia fight. It was like one or two fights before that.
Yeah, I think it was two fights, three fights, something like
that. The non-mismatch on the card, pretty much.
Well, yeah, I mean, the main event was clearly not a mismatch either.
Well, no, not that, yeah. I mean, those odds are way off. But, I mean, every fight leading up to that, the majority was over -1,000. Wild. And then you had that one fight that was relatively close.
But the thing is, the over-unders are usually three digits, like 100, 200, shit like that. And even, like, I can't remember a time where I got, you know how there's always these grimy, like just slimy decisions where you know fighter A won, but fighter B won. In reality, fighter B gets the fucking call. I'm never on the winning fighter in those grimy decisions, but I was for the first time that I can fucking remember in that co-main event where there's no fucking way that dude won. But I had $200 on him and he won somehow, right? By decision. And I had him by decision. So it was fun, man. I enjoyed it. I'm sure that they'll rate me for some money in the future, but for right now, I'm excited about it, man. But let's get some parlays and then let's get out of here.
All right, let's do it. You want the whale bet right off the rip? I know Alex. He's ready for it. All right, the whale bet. It's even money +100, two teamer, Euros Medic, Ryan Spann. +100, that's the whale. Alex shaking his head like the fucking Mookie is.
We got a three bird, man. He's gonna.
Yeah, pull whatever. Go ahead. Go ahead. Take the wish, Tom Brady. Now we got a three teamer steamer this week, and it's juicy.
It was Medic and who? I heard Medic, Spann. And my brain froze.
Yeah, I can tell you checked out. Medic and Spann.
I like Spann.
Yeah, I'll just need like that part of it.
Extra hard.
All right, now I got another one that Alex will fucking shake his cunt head at. We got a three-teamer steamer. It's awfully juicy. We're going Benitez, L. Ron Hubbard, and Jonathan Pierce at +950.
Okay. Benitez, Hubbard, and Pierce. I don't hate it.
Where's the head shake, Alex? You leave me hanging.
+950.
Odds are good. I mean, that's
yeah, not bad. There you go.
I don't mind that. I like Machete, but like I can see a world where Benitez wins. I'm just very confident that Machete is just bigger. He's the real lightweight here. Gabriel Benitez is way too small for lightweight, man. He's a 145er. He's getting old. I think he's going to have one round in a max. I just don't think he's going to be able to go to war with this kid, to be honest.
Actually, hold on. One thing to consider, too, Alex, you're the fucking king of live bets. Medich versus Tim Means. How often do we see Tim Means have a good first round? You should be waiting on that.
We have, though. Watch him against Nico Price. He had a great first round.
I'm just saying, in a guy like Medich that comes out so hot that the common belief is he's round one or bust, Tim Means makes it through that first round. That's a live bet spot.
You're right. And it's more likely that Medich has a good round one.
Right. So I feel like if you're betting Tim Means before the fight, after round one, you're going to get him at fucking almost double the odds you initially would get him.
And that's what I'm gonna take that.
All right, I'm here.
Bad. As long as both of his eyes are open, yeah, I'm going to be taking that. Yeah. I don't trust Medich after that.
The Medich. No, I'll tell you some dogs that I'm confident in.
No, I want to play. I want to bet. Are these dogs all straight bets, or what are you looking at?
No, I mean, like, so the way that I usually do it is, I mean, usually there's a dog that I'm confident in. Like last week, it was Moicano. I mentioned that on the fucking, you know, at the end. I think I mentioned Holloway was another dog that I really liked too. So I had bets on those. I'm not betting these, but these are the dogs that I'm confident in because I'm not confident on many picks on this card, man, to be honest. You guys were talking about how, yeah, throw $10 on every dog and see if you come out on top. You guys might laugh. I'm fairly confident in Marnik Mann, dude. Like just for like the fucking shit that she's getting. I'm going to take that. You can rub your head all you want, Alex, but we all picked her.
I don't see anything wrong with that at all. Fucking, there's so many question marks on both sides.
Yeah, dude. So I'm taking Man's one of my dogs that I'm confident in. I'm confident in Guskov as well, which I know you don't like. But the reason why is just because, like I said, I've lost faith in Spann. And then another dog that I'm confident in is Onama. I just think that it's a feels thing for me. So those are my dogs that I wrote down here, clear as day. And yeah, I think that the only one that you like, Jared, is Marnik Mann. Alex, you don't like any of those. You got any hot takes before we get out of here?
Lay it on us, Mr. Round.
I'm betting Tim Means, baby. I'm betting the third.
Oh, rub your head, Jared. All right.
I gotta have the plus Alex reaction.
+250.
Well, we both gotta mute ourselves.
I'm waiting to watch the rest of the interviews before I place any other bets. Probably gonna be a week of a lot of over unders, but I'm waiting to pull the trigger on Tim Means, baby. If it hits 300, I'll bet it before the fight. But other than that, I'll go small and I'll do my live my round betting, live betting.
Jared's selling it.
How that goes. But Tim Means, baby, the Dirty Bird. He's going to do it for all the vets. One vet on this card got to win. There's so many vets on this card. One has to win, and that's the one.
I just wrote Dirty Bird for you. And, I mean, yeah, Jared can't believe it.
No, it's kind of fun playing the Alex reaction. Very animated. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, man, no, I think it's a fun card. And like I said, I mean, like, we're not wrong until we're actually wrong here. We all got good lineups, man. Imagine one of us hits like 100% on this fucking weird ass card. I think I could see it happen, but we'll see. Anything else? Last words.
It's been real fucking, you know, teep picks, profit picks, dangerous world. You got the trifecta right here.
It's always real. And next week is going to be extra real, man. I'm very excited for that. Should be a good time. The card starts fairly normal time, right? Because, yeah, Brazil is just fucking same similar time zone to the U.S. So I would imagine it's starting late normal time. But good luck, guys, for this week. Something to look out for, too. Last thing I'll plug. Obviously, you guys know I work with the BKFC. BKFC will be on Underdog Underdog's a really fun fucking over under thing. They got to Underdog before like PFL and Bellator and all these other things did, man. So you're gonna have a different way that you can you can't bet on there. They call it, it's not betting, it's playing or it's picking. What's interesting, dude, with fucking Underdog, a lot of places you don't have to be 21 to play because it's not considered betting because there's no odds attached to it. It's just throwing picks together and then you get, you know, 10, 20 times your money, whatever. So it's weird how they kind of are able to do that. But of course, in fucking New York and Arizona, the state that I'm in, which I don't give a shit, I'm fucking 33, but you know, Arizona, it is 21 and up. New York is 21 and up. But California, which is where the event is, Knucklemania 4, you are able to bet, or I'm sorry, you're able to play with Underdog out there.
A
So,
wild loophole.
well, yeah, it's, I don't even know if it's a loophole because it makes sense. Like, it's not, you know
It's
what I'm saying?
gambling. You're putting up money to try to get more money back. That's gambling.
Sure, but there's no odds attached to it. That's what
It's
makes it a,
still gambling, though. You know? I mean,
that's
yeah,
what it,
that's what I'm saying. The loophole comes in because you
I'll
don't
give
have
you
straight up
odds.
odds.
Pick this many things and you'll win 10 times what you want.
Yeah, but it's flat. There's no money line attached to it. There's no prop bets or anything like that. It's just like straight pick'ems. You know what I mean? But yeah, it is interesting, man. We found that out. I found it out today, actually. And just doing the research on it was kind of interesting, man. So yeah, look for Underdog. If you look to, you know, get a little action on some BKFC. Should be fun. And that's a fucking sport to bet on, dude. I wish that I could fucking actually bet on that shit. Easy. But anyway, good luck, guys. We will be talking next week for the big UFC 301. Good luck, everybody that's betting. And make sure that you tell friends to watch this on as Jared is disgusted. Just, you know, tell people to watch this on Profit Picks YouTube. It's the black logo with yellow letters, yellow and red letters, if I'm not mistaken. Kind of looks like almost like a Pulp Fiction lettering. So make sure that you get the right one. But yeah, you can see our dumb faces on that. It's a good time. Talk to you guys soon. We'll see you next week.